asked this question, how long? He asks it there in verse 1 twice, and he asks it in verse 2 again twice. So he asks it four times, how long, how long, how long, how long? You know, one of the things you'll find out about God, if you haven't already found out yet, is that God cannot be rushed. You can't hurry God along. God works things out in His way, in His will, in His time. So I want you to notice some things about David's problem here, a problem that many times we experience. Notice in the first verse, he felt forgotten. He felt forgotten. Notice verse 1 there again. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? You ever noticed how when we're having a good time, time just seems to fly by fast, doesn't it? When we're having a difficulty, though, it seems to drag on. I mean, we say things like, time flies when you're having fun. When we're in the middle of a problem, though, it seems like God doesn't even know what's happening to us. And we think God has forgotten us. But let me tell you this, if you think God has forgotten you, know this, He hasn't. Whether you understand it or not, God has not forgotten you. When you think that God has forgotten you, then I want to encourage you, go back to the Word of God. Go back and read God's Word. Here's what it says in Isaiah 49, verse 14 through verse 16. But Zion said, Zion is a reference to Jerusalem, the capital city there, to the Mount Zion there, to the nation of Israel as a whole. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. But then notice what he says in verse 15. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child? Women, can you forget that child that you held as a little baby and that you nursed? Can you forget that little child? Absolutely not. Can you forget your nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet he says, I will not forget you. He says, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Here's what I want to encourage you this morning. Don't ever let the devil tell you that God has forgotten you. David was wrong when he thought that God had forgotten him. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 27 and verse 10, he does get it right when he says this. He says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord, he will take me in. So understand, God has not forgotten you. Notice the second part of his problem. He felt forsaken. He felt forsaken. Notice the second part of verse 1. He had said, how long will you forget me forever? And then he says, how long will you hide your face from me? So David is saying that it's not only like he's been forgotten, he's been forsaken. It literally that God is somehow hiding his face from him. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like God's got a grudge against you, like he's hiding his face from you. Remember that in the scripture, that phrase, the face of God, speaks of God's loving kindness. It speaks of God's blessing toward us. God gave Israel a blessing back in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22 to verse 26, that says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his son saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. You may have remembered this phrase from hearing others say it before. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And David is saying in this prayer in Psalm 13, I don't sense that. I don't feel that. I don't feel like God's face is shining toward me. Here's what I want you to know. Even if you don't know or you don't feel that God's face is toward you, unless there's sin in your heart or in your life that you need to confess and to repent, know this, his face is toward you. If you're his child, you even when you're in the darkest night, even if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, his blessing is toward you in that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross that you could have that eternal salvation. Notice the third part of his problem. He felt frustrated. He felt frustrated. You ever pray and you feel frustrated? Notice verse 2. He said, "How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" You may feel and be in the dark. You may feel forgotten, but you're not. You may feel forsaken, but you're not. And you may feel frustrated. And I'm not going to say you're not frustrated, but here's what David is saying. He's saying to God, "God, I can't get this problem solved. I've been thinking about it. The wheels have been spinning. I've been thinking over and over, thinking out loud, even trying to reason it out. And there's nothing I think I can do to fix this problem." You ever been there? I mean, you get frustrated and you think that the problem will never be solved. I want to tell you something. God has not forgotten you. God has not forsaken you. And the problem will be solved, maybe not in the way you want it solved, but understand God is a sovereign God. Let me give you some more verses that you can go to in times like that. If you've been bombarding heaven and saying, "Well, nothing's happening." Well, maybe nothing is happening that you're seeing. Because Philippians chapter 1 verse 16 says this, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." Do you see the promise there? That's a promise to every believer, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Understand, God doesn't have any half-built towers. God doesn't have any unfinished projects. If God began a good work in you, God will perform it. He will complete it, even if it means it's till the day of Christ Jesus, when Jesus comes again. So whether you understand it or not, whether it makes sense to you or not, remember this from Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and verse 29. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." What is his purpose? "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." That's what he's working about doing in your life, is making you more like Jesus and less like yourself. And so now that's God's purpose, and God is working toward his purpose. Psalm 138 verse 8 says that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. When he says fulfill, it means finish or complete. You know, we don't like the way God does it sometimes. We don't like God's timing. We don't like God's method. And sometimes we cry out like David, "God, how long?" But we need to understand that God is there. And we have to admit that the times, if you're a believer, you have to admit the times that you've grown more spiritually were those times where you were in the deepest problem or facing the biggest sorrow. Isn't that strange? But that's true. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 4, verse 1. "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress." Like it or not, it's true. But notice also there was a prevailing prayer. There was the perplexing problem. There's also the prevailing prayer in verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3 and verse 4 says this. Again, he said, "Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." You know, he's saying, "Lord, this thing, it's killing me." He probably had been praying this for days, weeks, hours, praying from his heart. And the problems did what the problems were supposed to do. They drove him to prayer. That's what problems do in our lives. God loves us too much to let us live our life apart from him. So his problems drove him to prayer. But notice some things about his prayer here. Notice the one to whom he's praying in verse 3. He's praying to a covenant promise-keeping God. He's praying to the Almighty God of promise and the God of power. Because remember what had happened for David. David had already been anointed by Samuel that God and said that you are chosen of God. You are God's anointed. And in a way, he knew Saul couldn't kill him because he hadn't yet been crowned. God had made a promise. He had a promise from God, and he was praying on the basis of that promise. Our prayers need to be based on the promises of God's word. He was praying on the promise of who God is, on the basis of what God can do and what God had said he would do. John Phillips said this. He said, "David had all those emotions but he nailed his emotions to a promise of God. What a wonderful thought there. I mean, think about the command in the New Testament that tells us to do exactly the same thing as what David was doing right now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And when you do that, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus." He doesn't say God's going to solve your problem. He doesn't say God is going to remove your situation or your circumstance or your trial. It says God will give you peace that passes all understanding, and that God will guard your heart and God will guard your mind. Notice thirdly here, the perplexing problem led to a prevailing prayer, and the prevailing prayer leads to a proper perspective in verse 5 and verse 6. He says, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with him." With me. Think about that for just a moment. What has changed? Not the problem, but David. David has changed. I mean, think about it. Here's the same man who was whining and complaining in the first two verses, and now he's praising. It doesn't say that Saul died. It doesn't say that David suddenly got reinforcements. David had refocused. He says, "Lord, I've been looking at the problem, but now, Lord, I'm going to look to you." Look at verse 5 at that word, "but." In those verses that you see there, I see three things that I want to close with here. Three things: an unshakable faith, an unspeakable joy, and an overwhelming praise. Notice first the unshakable faith in the beginning of verse 5. "But I have trusted in your steadfast love," or mercy, as some versions say. He was saying basically, "God, whether it seems to me that you're merciful or not, I put my faith in the fact that you are a God of steadfast love, of mercy." One paraphrase gives it this way and says, "I have thrown myself headlong into your arms." That's an unshakable faith when you fall into the arms of God. Notice the unspeakable joy in verse 5 also. He says in this verse, he says, "But I have trusted in your love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." Understand that if you're saved, you've got a lot to rejoice in, no matter what else happens to you in this life. Romans 8 verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So understand, David isn't just talking about salvation, dying and going to heaven. The word salvation means deliverance. He's saying to God, "I'm rejoicing in your deliverance. God, you're going to get me out of this some way, somehow. Some way, somehow, you're going to walk me through this situation." So before it ever happens, I, by faith, David says, "I'm going to cast myself on your mercy, on your steadfast love, and rejoice in your deliverance before it ever happens." That's the place we need to get to in our prayers to come to the third part here in verse 6 of the unquenchable praise. Notice in verse 6, he says, "I will sing to the Lord." Just a moment ago, he was crying to the Lord. How long? Now he's singing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So here's a man saying, "Lord, I'm about to die. My problems are overwhelming me." And then he gets to thinking about God and thinking about the blessings that God has given him. And he doesn't just say, "Lord, you're all right. You've done so and so." He says, "No, God, you have blessed me beyond what I could ever imagine. You have blessed me bountifully," he says. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you are or how big your problem is, if you'll begin to think about the blessings that God has given to you, you'll have to say, as David did too, "God, you have dealt bountifully with me too." You ever thought about how God does something? He doesn't just give us life. He gives us eternal life. He doesn't just give us peace. He gives us a perfect peace. He doesn't just give us grace, He gives us an abounding grace. He doesn't just give us victory, He makes us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So why shouldn't we praise Him? It just may be that you're in the middle of a great big problem. God is just working on you until you get your focus back on Him and you begin to thank Him for what He's already given you, for what He's already done. And understand this, He has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. He will see you through. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But first, you have to trust in Him as your Lord. Seek Him with all of your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. What a wonderful, wonderful psalm. Lord, thank You for what You have been doing in our lives. That, Lord, so often our feelings get in the way. We feel like David did at the beginning of this psalm. But Lord, every single time that we begin to look back at our life and we begin to see blessing after blessing after blessing, Lord, You remind us You've been faithful in the past. You promised that You would be there, and You were. There's no reason for us to think that You won't be present with us here in this time. And there's no reason for us to have anxiety about tomorrow, because if You're here with us yesterday and You're here with us today, You will be with us tomorrow. So Father, may we look to You, and may we find our hope in You. May we find peace in Your presence. And Father, I pray that You'll give us that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, that can only come for some this morning by trusting by faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, who is the Prince of Peace. Father, I pray that they would call out to Him and say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on that cross for my sins, was buried in the tomb, and arose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and save me and help me to live for You all the days of my life." Father, I pray this morning, if someone's prayed something like that in their hearts and they meant that with all sincerity, may they come to publicly profess that faith in Christ, to follow through in the waters of baptism. Others, Lord, You may be leading in them in their hearts to come and become a part of this fellowship of believers. Father, I pray that You would stir their hearts to come forward this morning also. But Lord, there may be those who are here as believers that we've lost our focus. And Lord, we feel like life is just so overwhelming. Lord, we feel like we're forsaken. We feel like we're forgotten. We wonder, where are You, Lord? And yet, You're working behind the scenes where we don't always see, working about to change us in our hearts and in our lives, not necessarily to get rid of our problem. So Father, I pray that You will help us to keep focusing on You, to keep trusting